Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Juneau Police Lieutenant Craig Campbell will become Deputy Chief of Police on January 1st. Campbell will also act as Interim Chief of Police until Derek Boss, who was chosen as the new chief earlier this year, takes over in February. Since former Chief Ed Mercer retired, Juneau will have had three temporary chiefs before Boss starts. Campbell has been with the department since 2002 and was a finalist for the Chief of Police position. KTOO spoke with Campbell about his promotion and what this new role entails.
Yeah, so I'll be the Deputy Chief of Police, who serves under the Chief of Police. He's basically in charge of all of our operations for the department, so our patrol, our investigations unit, but as well as our non-sworn side, our community service officers, our dispatchers, our records, our IT, all those people kind of funnel in under lieutenants and our public safety manager under the deputy chief. So it really is kind of our deputy chief's job to maintain those day-to-day operations with the help of the lieutenants and then under the chief.
And what does this role change mean to you?
It's a progression in my career that I've always been excited about. When I became a detective, so I don't remember when that was. It was back in 2007 or something. And I really found that at that time, it felt like I had more voice, like more people were willing to listen to you because of that position, even though it's a detective is the same rank as an officer. They just do things differently. But at that role, as long as you were willing to do some of the work, like, hey, this thing needs to be changed or improved upon, if you were willing to be the driving force behind that work and get buy-in from people, you had a little more say in getting it done. And I really like that. I found I really enjoyed things like process improvement and changing things and just challenging status quos and doing things differently. As long as they can be done better, ideally, that's the ideal purpose. I always felt like, hey, I want to be in a role that supports like our staff as a high priority just as much as we value other things, you know. And I think traditionally a lot of places don't value their employees as much as they might value, like, you know, outputs and statistics and the things that an organization is trying to do. When places don't put a whole lot of value on your employees, that can lead to lower morale, lower quality of work product. And for us, we can't afford to have that as a police department because our work product is the service that we provide to our communities. And if we have officers that are getting burned out, not feeling valued, that's going to come out when they, you know, they're talking to people on the street, and that creates friction between the community and officers just on day-to-day stuff, you know. And I just want to be able to put our staff up there as a high priority. I was at a training this past year, and what they said was really interesting is, as a department, if you want your staff to be like up here in their commitment to what you're trying to do, and that could be your commitment to your community engagement, your commitment to the organization, the brand, wherever it is, you need to commit to them to that same level, because wherever your level of commitment is where their level of commitment to your organization will be. So if you are putting them down here, they're going to come right down here. They're never going to go up here. And that just, in my mind, it just rings so true. And it's like, I want to bring them up here. So to me, moving into the deputy chief spot, I believe gives me that ability to do that at a very larger scale. And that's what I'm excited about.
Can I ask, how has the department functioned with this rotating leadership?
One thing that's great about the department, it's like a well-oiled machine. Like, things just run, because at the day-to-day operations, the chief doesn't make those. You know, long-term, they help make decisions and keep you going on the path that the direction you're trying to go. But we have had an acting chief, Lieutenant Weske. He's been doing a great job. He's a great leader. So he's been there to bride that. But we still are having this unknown, like, what's going to happen? Who's going to get this? What's that going to look like? I think for the most part, we are getting through it. We're getting through it really well. But it will be nice to have those things kind of ironed out as we move forward. Chief Boss will be here in February. I'll take over January 1st. And then we'll just be continue on to, like, hey, what's going to be our normal process moving forward?
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
That was KTOO speaking with the Juneau Police Department's incoming Deputy Chief of Police, Craig Campbell. A Washington man has pled guilty to misrepresentation of Indian-produced goods and products. The charge stems from his involvement in a larger conspiracy to sell fake Alaska Native art in Ketchikan. KRBD's Jack Darrell has the story.
Jesse Halili Regenio was charged with violating the Federal Indian Arts and Crafts Act by passing off stone carvings and wood totem poles as traditional art made by local Tlingit and Haida artisans. They were actually made in the Philippines. The products were sold out of two storefronts in Ketchikan, Alaska Stone Art and Rail Creek. The stores were owned and operated by Cristobal Rodrigo and his family members. Regenio was an employee of the family stores and received commissions on the Philippine products they sold. His plea agreement lists his involvement beginning in 2019. Regenio portrayed himself as an Alaska native carver named Sonny. In May of 2019, Regenio received commission on a stone-carved bear with a fish in its mouth, which sold for almost $1,500. In July of that year, he sold a stone eagle for almost $6,500. Then, a month before his involvement with the scheme allegedly ended, he sold a Philippine-made humpback whale to an undercover law enforcement agent. The whale was signed with a false name, Kilit. Federal authorities say that Regenio would lie to customers that he learned to carve by watching his brother and his uncle, Kilit, both Tlingit master carvers. In a later conversation with a customer, he misrepresented his employer, Cristobal Rodrigo, as his non-existent uncle, Kilit. Rodrigo was sentenced to 2 years in prison for his part in the crime in August of this year. It's currently the longest sentence ever given for an Indian Arts and Crafts Act violation in the United States. In a statement at the time, Alaska District Attorney S. Lane Tucker said that Rodrigo's monumental sentence was a testament to the Fed's dedication to protecting indigenous cultural heritage and that the family's actions were a cultural affront to Alaska Native artisans. In Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
A Ketchikan grand jury indicted four people and police arrested another on felony drug charges this month. That adds them to a list of nearly 20 people actively facing felony charges for fentanyl, heroin, and methamphetamine in the city. Outside the courtroom, though, the broader community is bearing the brunt. As KRBD's Jack Darrell reports, the topic came up at a Ketchikan City Council meeting.
Homelessness and addiction weren't on the City Council's meeting agenda. But according to downtown business owners who took the podium, they should have been. They said homelessness and drug addiction have become problems too big to ignore. Problems that now affect their income. Community leaders will be talking more about it soon. At the end of January, members of the U.S. National Guard will arrive in Ketchikan to help establish an emergency action plan. They'll work with groups like the police department and EMS on best practices related to fentanyl and how to utilize the Alaska National Guard's civil support team. Civil support teams are generally called upon in the event of a natural or man-made disaster, or when there are substances that local authorities cannot safely handle or identify. Law enforcement and downtown business owners aren't the only ones on the front lines of addiction and homelessness in the city. Nasa Dominguez is an ER doctor in the local hospital. She spoke to KRBD in a coffee shop on her day off.
So there's people who have come in and require several doses of Narcan, and they're like, I did meth. Like, I wasn't expecting this outcome. Like, I wasn't trying to get high. I was trying to smoke meth. So we're seeing a little bit of that contamination where people are unintentionally overdosing and they're like, that wasn't the effect I was looking for.
Dominguez says when a new batch of drugs arrives in town, she knows.
You'll see upticks and you kind of get an idea like when something has hit the town, like you'll start to see a few more people come in more frequently. You're like, oh, something got to town or somebody got into a bad batch because you'll see more people overdosing because it's stronger.
And yes, fentanyl and heroin and methamphetamine are dangerous. But Dominguez says the most destructive presence in Ketchikan on the emergency room floor is alcohol.
The drugs are there, absolutely, and you see people with methamphetamines, you see people who are trying to do a different drug, maybe got fentanyl in their system, but alcohol is above and beyond the most exhausting thing that we see.
Dominguez says people will come off the streets too inebriated to care for themselves. She sees them every day or every other day, sometimes for decades. She sees their decline. But there are also glimmers of light at the end of the tunnel.
Or you see people who get cleaned up and it's awesome. Like you see someone like really regularly for several months and then you don't see them and then you see them for something completely unrelated. And you're like, oh my gosh, yay. Like you, yay, that's so great.
Dominguez says when patients stop showing up, it could be for two reasons. And sometimes, hopefully, it's the better one. She says recovery is possible. As a doctor in the community, she sees it. 10 of the active felony cases in Ketchikan's court system originated this year. They involve both residents and people accused of bringing drugs to town, on ferries, on planes, and by mail. As the cases are still in proceedings, all are innocent until proven guilty. In Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
And it's currently 33 degrees and snowing this afternoon in Juneau. The low tonight is 36 degrees. That snow will probably turn to rain tomorrow with a high of 40 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.